Vulcan paused, and it felt like the few seconds stretched into minutes before he gave his answer. Numion was reminded of their words aboard the Fireforge, of Ferus Manus's wrath being his undoing, of the foreseen distemper in Horus, and the profound disquiet about this very battle. They rose up in the Pyre Guard captain, threatening to choke him with their sense of foreboding.
"Aye," said Vulcan at length, "we shall consolidate at the drop site. Perhaps Ferus will see sense and muster with us."
"He won't."
"No, you're probably right."
Vulcan ended the transmission. It was as if a mantle of grief lay about his shoulders, heavy with the burden of a fear that had been confirmed in what he'd just heard or felt. Numion could not explain it.
"Order all companies to fall back to the drop site," Vulcan told him.
Numion voxed down to Kagosi at once. The pyroclasts had all but cleansed the trenches of the enemy, leaving the route back clear and open. Whilst the retreat of Horus's rebels was ragged and disorganized, the warriors of the 19th and 18th legions fell back in good order. Tanks returned to column, rumbling slowly but steadily back down the slope. The scorched trenches emptied as legionaries filed out in vast hosts, company banners still flying. They were battered but resolute. The dead and injured came with them, dragged or borne aloft by their still-standing brothers. It was a great exodus, the black and green ocean of war retreating with the tide to leave the flotsam of their slain enemy behind it. Most of the fortifications were destroyed. Huge sections of earthworks and spiked embankments lay open like rotting wounds. Bodies were impaled on them, some clad in dusky white, others in arterial red or lurid purple. It was the evidence of fratricide 1,000 times over, and it was this that Vulcan lingered behind to look upon before he quit the field.
"This is not victory," he murmured. "It is death. It is bonds broken and bloody, and it shall mark us all for generations."
On the northern side of the Urgal Depression, a fresh sea made ready to sweep in and carry all of the mortal debris away. Across from the muster field of the Salamanders, which was little more than a lager of dropships, were the Iron Warriors. Armored in grey with black and yellow chevrons, the 4th Legion looked stark and stern. They had erected a barricade, the armoured bastions of their own landing craft alloyed together to bolster the northern face of the slope. Great cannons were raised aloft behind it, their snouts pointing to the ash-smothered sky. A line of battle tanks sat in front of it, bearing the grim icon of a metal-helmeted skull. And in front of that, Iron Warriors arrayed in their cohorts, thousands strong. They held their silence and their weapons across their bodies with no more life than automatons. The drop zone was flooded with warriors now as a makeshift camp materialized to serve the injured and secure the bodies of the dead. Tank yards manifested as labor teams of tech marines and servitors assembled to make standing repairs. Multiple triage stations were being set up in the lee of the larger Stormbirds, whilst the holds of some Thunderhawks acted as emergency infirmaries. The able-bodied looked to their armor and weapons. Quartermasters took stock, replenished ammunition and materiel where they could. Officers reorganized in the face of casualties. Subalterns and equerries gave brief reports to line officers, and standard-bearers acted as rally points as the entire vexillarius was put into motion, organizing for the second assault. Not a single legionary about the 18th stood idle. Yet the Iron Warriors, the entire muster on the northern slope, neither spoke nor moved beyond what was necessary to assemble.
Chief Apothecary Sengariz voxed through to the command echelon, including Vulcan and the Pyre Guard, complaining of the lack of reply regarding requests for aid, specifically medical. Numion felt a grim silence descend across the whole Urgal Depression, like when a storm eclipses the sun, as he saw Captain Ralstan of the Fire Drakes raise his fist in salute to their iron allies. Not one responded to his hail. Only the wind, kicking at their banners, gave any sense of animus to the Fourth Legion throng.
"Why do they ignore us?" asked Leodrak openly.
Vulcan was staring in the direction of his brother Perturabo. The Lord of Iron returned the Lord of Drake's gimlet gaze with one of his own.
"Because we are betrayed," said Vulcan, disbelieving, horror turning to anger on his face. "To arms!"
More than 10,000 guns answered, the weapons of their allies turned on them with traitorous intent.